and welcome to Dear Pop Culture. This is the podcast where we talk about pop culture that is dear to us. We pop about talk culture that is dear to us. I am your host, Gina Harms. We're brought to you by Comedy Here Off at Podcast Network. And today I am joined by a lovely guest. Very exciting to have them on the pod. You know him as a drag performer. I don't know. Okay. I'm just going to introduce you. It's Dust.
Oh my gosh, Gina. I thought you said pop culture, and I was like, what has this podcast become?
Top culture. Yeah, I started to say it, and then I just went with it, you know?
Yeah, it worked, honestly. And the intro for me was great. And,
oh, good.
You know, as the self-proclaimed super fan of this podcast, I'm pretty stoked that I get you most candid, you know?
Yeah, true. Truly.
Oh, my God.
You brought it out of me. Yes. Yeah. We're recording on this Sunday morning. I'm still drinking coffee.
Same. Well, I don't drink coffee. I drink this like green sludge
that I make. Yeah, I was going to say, that's a very healthful looking thing.
Yeah, it's got so much caffeine in it. I like a matcha in the morning.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh. I've switched to green tea sometimes because I'm not working as much. And so if I'm not working and I'm just at home all day and I have coffee, I'm like sitting here vibrating like,
ugh. Yeah, exactly. If I don't have anything to do in a day, I do not put caffeine in my body because there's no use me being caffeinated alone on my couch.
Exactly. Yeah. Who's that for?
It's not for me. I do not need to like have caffeine coursing through my veins while I'm trying to watch Romy and Michelle's high school reunion for like the 18th time. Like it doesn't change the film. The film will always be incredible, you know?
So true. That is a wow. Starting right off the top with a strong
the strong reference.
Strong reference.
Yeah. Well, you know, I, like I said, I'm a super fan of this podcast, so I'm like really stoked. I like made a list. I was like, I listened to you and Randy talk last week. I don't know when this is going to air, but like, I was like, oh, I want to tell them what my favorite Avenger is. I was like feeling like I was a part of the conversation, even though I 110% was not.
I get that. That's so nice to hear. And I get that a lot listening to podcasts too.
one of the things that you said that I found really profound, I don't know what week it was, but you were like, I asked myself, like, if I didn't sign this podcast to a podcast network, would I have continued to do it? And I was like, that's profound. And also like, good for you, because now you have purpose.
It's true. Like, honestly, like I am just the type of person who I have so many ideas and then they never happen. I never follow through.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Yeah. I think a lot of people are like that.
Like I have notebooks and notebooks of things being like I've written down concepts for 6 podcasts. Will they happen? I don't know.
Right.
But you have my, I found the podcast because you had my drag mother on it. And I was like, Chandelier. Yeah. And I was like, I'm going to go listen to this. And then I was like, oh my God. And literally last night I texted her and I was like, I'm thinking about starting a podcast. Can you convince me to do it? She was you make fun of people who have podcasts. I'm like, yeah, but that was before I listened to 2 hours of podcasts a day for the last 6 months. She's like, oh, okay.
Yeah. That's so funny. I had a similar thing. I'm like, every comedian has a podcast. That's so dumb. Like,
I only listen to the women. I only listen to funny women podcasts.
Yes.
So yeah, that's where I'm at with that.
So they're great. You should do it. I didn't know that Chandelier was your drag mother.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's very cool.
Yeah. She actually adopted me. We just probably crossed the, in, I think it was like March 20th. I think we crossed it's 5 years. Yeah. Oh, wow. We crossed the 5-year friendship mark in March, which is great, when she adopted me. Yeah.
Yeah. Cute. Congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Yeah. It's been a blessing. I used to work for Beetroot, and I wrote an article about drag before I even started drag. And our first article was about Shanda, and I had just moved to Vancouver. I'd been there maybe 6 months, and me and my friend like emptied out my bedroom and filled it with like 400 white balloons and took pictures of her in it. And that's how we, you know, became friends.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, totally. Absolutely. Nice. Yeah. And it's so funny because all that effort for like three photos that are like, this was 5 years ago. So like, where are they?
Right. Yeah. Photos.
Yeah. And release them. No, they've been released. They're just now buried buried under like 5 years of like other things.
Right.
Yeah. It's so weird to think about that.
It is. Yeah, absolutely. Just like, yeah, it's such a big moment. And then it's gone.
Yep.
Oh God.
All this effort. And then you get like back in those days, it was like you get, you know, like maybe 120 likes. So you're like, ooh, amazing.
Oh yeah. Oh my God. It even like 120 likes, that's a lot for me. That's
incredible. Incredible. I don't know. I don't know if you can see behind. Sorry, go ahead.
I rarely ever break 100. If I break 100, I'm like, that's a good post. You're like,
okay, but you break more than 100 when you're on TikTok, right? Like your TikTok's raging.
I put a lot of effort into TikTok. I've kind of stopped making them because it was so much work, but I got to get back into it. Because
yeah, yours, watching yours is like watching a Steven Spielberg movie.
Wow, thank you. Yeah. It feels like that much effort, but I don't get any. That was my problem. I was like, I don't get anything from it. I'm not getting paid for this.
And you're like, exposure, clout. I'm a stand-up. I don't care.
Yeah, it's not like stand-up where you get like instant laughs. It's like it's out there. And even if, see, a lot of people like it and the likes are great and I should think about that more, but I just focus on the comments that are like, do this next. You haven't done this. And it's like, what do you want from me?
Yeah. You're like, leave me alone. Yeah. I don't know if you can see behind me, but I have quite a interesting setup on my wall. So like I keep like old show posters, you know, to remind myself of like where I've been and what I've done and all the stupid ideas I've had. And then that big one right behind me there, that is a theatrical, like theater marquee size Shrek 2 poster.
It's beautiful.
Thank you so much. It's my prized possession. Yeah. And in my bedroom is the same size poster, like the theater, like marquee size, in a custom frame, Mamma Mia 2, Here We Go Again poster. Oh, but I put it at the foot of my bed. So when I wake up in the morning, like the entire cast is like looking down on me.
Oh, that's so nice. Yeah, so precious.
Absolutely.
Well, actually, it's crazy. I don't think I've talked about Mamma Mia on this podcast. And this is an honor because you're a Mamma Mia fan. I'm a Mamma Mia fan.
Okay, I'm just going to cross off my entire list. We're just going to talk about Mamma Mia for the next 45 minutes. This is a
Mamma Mia episode.
Totally. Buckle up, Diva. The boat is leaving the Grecian harbor and we are headed to Kalahari. Let's do this.
Yes. Oh my God.
Yeah. Okay, well, so Mamma Mia 2. Are you a fan of the prequel sequel?
I really am. I saw it twice in theaters. And now I think I own it on iTunes, but
oh, legendary.
It's like so ridiculous and just happy. It's like,
yeah, it's it. So I think what Mamma Mia, the first one came out when I was in grade 12. And I remember buying it on DVD and watching it and being like, huh, so that musical was catchy. And there wasn't a villain, there's no villain. The antagonist is like Donna is both the hero and the antagonist. And right. Sophie is neither, because Sophie's just curious. So I was like, that's great. I love that. And I was like, when the second one was announced, I was like, I wonder if they'll try and create a villain, because the reason the first one worked so well is that it is just like interpersonal tension.
Yeah.
There's no like villain that's like, ha, I'm going to ruin your life.
Yeah.
And the second one was just even sweeter because it was, like I said, it's a prequel sequel. So we get to like go back in time and we get to go forward in time, which is like, it's a fun feeling. Mm-hmm. It's a fun feeling. The second movie is about grief. The second movie is about what do we do with our grief? How do we channel our grief? And how do we support each other through that grief? And I think that that's a beautiful story to tell.
Yeah. Wow. I've never even thought of it like that, but, because like, I'm too busy dancing, but
yeah, that's fair.
I'm like, it's so
okay. I've seen it like probably, well, I saw it 10 times in theaters.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, because I loved the theatrical experience of Cher coming down on that helicopter. I was like, fucking okay. What, bitch? Yes.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Cher is sort of a villain, but not real.
She's like a villain for like 5 seconds until she opens her mouth. Yeah, absolutely. You're like, oh no. Oh, this is going to be so bad. And then Amanda Seyfried says that iconic line, which is like, grandma, nobody invited you. And then she goes, that's the best kind of party, little girl. Like, what?
Yeah. Great.
I live for that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I like one of like when it comes to grief and films and things like that, I probably don't pick up on that until I watch it like 5 or 6 times. Like, I don't see the themes until I've watched it to death.
Yeah, same. I rarely like walk away from a movie being like, oh, like, well, that's what it was really about. Like,
the only movie that hit me, like the themes hit me immediately, was Parasite.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Right. After I watched Parasite, I was like, yeah, eat the rich, like kill the rich. Like,
oh, this is
like absolute trash. Yeah. I understood the division that was created by that film, like within that film.
Oh yeah. So like so beautifully done. I want to just say about Parasite, if there's like one image in it, if you haven't seen the movie, just like skip ahead a minute or whatever. But like, it's still like, I wake up in the night and I think of it, you know, when like the man is coming up from the basement and like the little kid sees him and it's just like his eyes. I don't know. It freaked me out. And like, sometimes I think of it. Anyway.
The like, it's a fantastic movie. It was one of these movies, like when the credits started rolling, like my body was still paralyzed. Like I couldn't, like I was like, what?
Yeah. Oh, actually, I remember I saw it at International Village Theater by myself at like 10 o'clock at night. And so I was like leaving this empty mall, like trying to find my way out after Parasite. And I was like, get me out of here. Like, yeah. Not that it's like a truly horror movie. It's like not scary. It's like everything. It's wild.
It's a little bit of everything, because it's like, it's funny. It's sad. It's, yeah, I would probably categorize it as like a thriller.
Yeah, that makes more sense.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
But back to Mamma Mia. I just want to ask. Were you like a fan of ABBA's music? Like, how familiar were you with it before seeing the movie?
Oh my God. Okay. So fun story. My parents indoctrinated me to hate ABBA because they loved bands like the Tragically Hip and the Headstones. Like, they're hard CanCon. Like, they didn't like that Swedish influence. And so as a kid, I was like, absolutely not. But I was so heavily music influenced that I remember one day for one of my birthdays, my friend got me ABBA Gold, which is like a fierce present for someone who is like in grade 10 and is like, I love music and musicals. And like, that was also around the same time that Hairspray came out. So people were like, if you love Hairspray, you're going to love ABBA. And I was like, no. And I had a Discman. I always had a Discman. I always had some sort of like music player. And I remember listening to Take a Chance on Me was the first ABBA song I ever heard. And I listened to it and I was like, I hit repeat so fast. Like, I must have listened to that song on repeat for 40 minutes. And I was just like, how have I gone my whole life saying that I hate ABBA? And then I thought back to it and I was like, oh, my parents hate ABBA.
Right.
Yeah.
That, yeah. Isn't that so funny? Like, you're just, your parents like plant these seeds in you without you even knowing. You're like, wait, what?
Is great and not great. Like, clearly I was like an effeminate child who like loved to get the girls, I'm using air quotes here, girls toy at McDonald's. And like, right. Like, so my dad was like, okay, well, if you're probably going to grow up to listen to pop music, then I guess I will give you some pointers, and like gave me like Cher's Greatest Hits.
Okay.
Yeah. And then like, probably I'd say like 3 years after that, my older brother was like, okay, and gave me like Kylie Minogue's like Love at First Sight album. Nice. And was like, this is good pop music. Don't stray from this. And I was just like, cool. So like the men in my life were like, okay, well, if you're going to be a huge faggot, then you might as well. Can I say that on here? Can I say that on here?
I think you can say it. I can't.
Yeah. Oh my god. So like, if this person's gonna, in our family's gonna be a huge faggot, then we better steer him in the right direction, you know?
Yeah. Oh my god, that is so funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, Kylie Minogue is like, I mean, I guess like a kind of like truly a gay icon in the pop music world. Like, kind of like slept on in general, except for when you talk to like gay men usually.
So like, one of the things that maybe you don't know this, but Kylie never broke North America.
But like, if you
go to Australia or you go to Europe, Kylie is number one.
Oh yeah, she is it. I did go to Australia, and like, yeah, but the only thing that we ever heard here was like, can't get you out of my head.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's so funny because I can't remember where the interview was, but she gave this interview where someone was like, so how do you feel about not being able to break into North America? And she was like, I don't care. She's like, if they don't want to like my music, they don't want to like my music. She's like, wow. I'm a superstar everywhere else. And like, just like, doesn't give a fuck.
Good for, did you hear about just recently the battle for the name Kylie with Kylie Jenner?
Oh my god, no.
So I think Kylie Minogue has just Kylie trademarked, and then Kylie Jenner is like tried to like sue her and like fight her for it. And like, there was like a court case, and then there was this quote that just came out like a week or two ago, and it was like, Kylie Minogue's lawyer says Kylie Jenner is nothing but like a 2-bit reality TV personality, and Kylie Minogue is a global icon. And so like, Kylie Minogue won.
Oh my god. That's like heavy shade.
It's so funny.
Well, speaking of the gays, her lawyer was probably like a capital F faggot. And she's like, absolutely not, Kylie Jenner. Sit down, little girl.
Yeah, you don't know what you're talking about. It's just so funny to me that like Kylie Jenner would like think that. I don't know. She'd just be like, yeah, I think that's fair. And it's like, what? You know,
Kylie Jenner probably doesn't, because Kylie Minogue didn't break North America, Kylie probably doesn't know about her stardom or like literally everything she's done. Like, right, Kylie Minogue's been around as long as Madonna.
Exactly. And like, wow. Just so funny, though.
So silly.
I died.
Oh, I told you via message last night that I have like, I saw you in public story.
Yes.
Okay.
Go on.
So I was very excitedly going to a concert at the Orpheum featuring one of my favorite musical artists, Maggie Rogers.
Oh.
And I was literally behind you in the seats the whole time, but you were like one partition down, and you had like a flowy moment on, so like I always just know, I was like, that's 100% Gina for sure, like just statuesque, like red hair, and like you were like dancing around, and you're like, I don't know whether it was a shawl, but you were Stevie mixing that bitch up. But like, so was I. Like, I was like crying every single song. I was like, not this song. It's just like, that's the way it is with her.
Yes. God, that is so fun. I have to tell you about that concert. I went with my brother, and he sent me this video recently, and like we both were like also had some drinks, but like there was a moment where I was, I guess, crying, and my brother like went to take like a selfie of us dancing, and he didn't realize I was crying. And then he like, and then in the video, it's just us, and then it's me, and then I say, I'm having a religious experience.
Okay, as a third party observer of that moment from behind, I'm like someone who, you know, was a little bit under the influence of some other things. I could say like, yeah, your aura was lit up in the direction of you having a religious experience.
I love that so much. You witnessed it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Also, that concert was one of the best concerts I've ever been to.
It was really great. Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. After I was like almost embarrassed about like saying that. And so I like didn't listen to her music for a while. And then like recently like did again. I was like, oh yeah, I love all of this.
Yeah. Every single song is just fierce.
Yeah. That album, yeah. No skips.
Oh my God. Yeah. And for me, like when I did my first listen through, I was like, oh, Back in My Body is like, that's my song. That's my jam. And then when she played it at the concert, I was like, I can't. Like I lost it.
Yeah.
Lost it. Yeah. There's something magical about her. I think personally for me, it's the way she consciously creates and crafts every single song.
Yeah. I just like, I don't know, like the vibes of it. Her voice is so beautiful. Like gives me chills.
Yeah. Yeah. She has. Oh God. Oh God. Yeah. And her and Kacey Musgraves and Phoebe Bridgers are all just like besties. And it just is like this wave of like incredible, like women in music emerging, them and Haim. Like just think about all the talent that's out there.
It's crazy. I actually like sadly have not gotten into Phoebe Bridgers. And I've like heard so much. I need to like try and just listen to an album. I don't know. I think I listened to like one song once and I was like, oh, I'm not sure. And then I just like never tried.
So I'm in the same boat as you. And like, I'll just like be presumptuous here and just say like, I remember like maybe one or two episodes on your podcast ago, you were talking about how you're kind of just like in a good space and you're not sad and like all of those things. So maybe perhaps that's why you can't connect to Phoebe Bridgers.
I mean, that's kind of it. Like compared to like Maggie Rogers, it's not quite like the sad.
No,
it's sad in a different way.
Yes.
I don't know. I that's it. Like I'll listen to sad music, but it's like, it's like a campy, like Whitney Houston belting a sad song.
Yeah, totally. It doesn't make you feel sad. It makes you feel empowered in your sadness.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a great way to put it.
Yeah. Whereas like there's songs on like Taylor Swift's Folklore that you listen to, like, This Is Me Trying, and you're just like, yeah, I'm a fucking bag of shit. Wow, I'm a shitty human being. And then at the end, you're like, but at least I was trying.
Right.
You know, have you listened to Folklore yet? Because you had said previously on your podcast that you hadn't.
No. I actually, I gave it a little listen through when it first came out. That was when I recorded that one. And then her next one came out, Evermore. And I listened to the song with Haim. Yeah. And it's great. Yeah,
nobody, no crime.
Yeah. But I didn't listen to the others. And I should, because like I am a Taylor Swift fan, but I don't know.
Well, that segues comfortably into one topic that I have written down here, which is Taylor Swift's re-release of Fearless.
Yeah.
Have you had a listen, or am I the one who's going to be talking?
Oh, no, I have had a listen. This is great. This is topical. I listen. And what I love about it is like it's the same. Yeah. Like, she didn't change any of it. Like her voice is matured and better. And it, so it's like the same, but like slightly better.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So like, I listened to the whole thing and I was like, okay, this album still whips ass, which is great. And I love that. Oh, also I have to disclaim, like when I say it whips ass, that's something that Chandelier says, my mom. So every time I say it, it's just like a nod to her. I did not coin that term. Do not give me credit. But 15 did not hit right now.
Actually, same.
Like, I like the old recording of 15 because I think that her like 19-year-old voice speaks better to that song. Like, the re-record is like great. I'm glad it exists, but I was like, no, this isn't.
It's I didn't feel emotional. Although I've just never been like a 15. Stand. Okay, I say that, but I know all the words. I was thinking that when it came on, I was like, oh, I never really liked 15. And then I sang it literally every word. So maybe I'm wrong, but I never connected to it. Like, it's a good song, but I was never like, when you're 15 crying. That wasn't my song.
I listened to the album and I was like, okay, I mean, I'm so excited. I hit shuffle. I like started doing my chores and everything. And the second song that played was The Best Day. And I was like, oh no, I totally forgot this song was on this album. And I lost my fucking mind because I was like, this is about her mom. Like, I couldn't.
And that like hits different now with like her mom, because the song about her mom on Lover, so sad.
Totally. And when she calls her a nice lady and Best Day, I lose my mind. I'm like, this is so sweet. And you're the prettiest lady. Like, I can't.
Yeah.
She's just.
That's so beautiful.
What I think is unique for me and my friends, I'm 31 and most of my friends are like in their 30s. And so when Fearless came out, we were of the age group, the same age group that Taylor Swift was at the time. And so some of us were climbing out of the closet and some of us were still a little bit in the closet. And a friend of mine messaged me and was like, oh my God, I forgot about Forever and Always. And they were like, yeah, oh my God, when my girlfriend broke up with me when I was 19, I changed my Facebook status to the lyrics to this song. And
oh,
I was like,
God.
And then they were like, yeah, and that was like my last girlfriend because, you know, limp wrist emoji.
That's amazing.
Yeah, totally. Everyone in the closet's just like listening to Taylor Swift being like, soon.
Yeah. Oh, no. I had similarly, that album came out when I was with my first boyfriend when I was 18. And I guess I'll tell this story. We were like, no, it's like just so sickly cute. We were like in his bedroom and he put on Love Story and like asked me to dance. And even at the time I was like, this is gross.
That's not very East Van of you.
No, I'm so embarrassed.
Oh, but you know what? You were 18. It's whatever.
Yeah, it was very cute. He loved Taylor Swift. That was the big.
Is he? You know, emoji.
No.
It's funny because we're recording this on video, so I have to say limp wrist emoji, even though I'm actually like,
even though you're actually doing it.
Yeah, I'm tossing my limp wrist at the screen.
Is there an emoji?
No.
Oh, okay.
This is like, I'm hoping the algorithm or, you know, Big Brother hears me and is like, you know what, we should give the gays.
That'd be huge.
Are they, you know, limp wrist emoji?
Right. If we say it enough.
Because all we have right now, so all we have for to signify gayness via emojis is a cigarette emoji.
Oh,
so we'll be like, are they, you know, cigarette emoji, which is a fag.
Oh, I was like, I don't get it.
Yeah, like in group chats, like with the gays, they'll be like, hey, cigarette emojis.
Oh. I'm like just trying to imagine like like this woman who's trying to like fit in and just says that, like, hey, cigarette emoji.
Just out loud verbally.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, cigarettes. I mean, cigarettes. That's kind of, that's pretty funny.
There's a person who is like that.
There's gotta be. Absolutely. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Okay. So we talked about Taylor Swift. That's great. Putting a check mark. So that
we, yes, I was going to say we could talk about more of like your past interests, you know, the
okay, let's talk about, okay, so you grew up in Kamloops. Yes, I listened to your podcast. I love Kamloops, by the way. I've been there a lot in my life because I had a great aunt and uncle who lived there, and so we used to visit them every single summer. And yeah, I love it out there. There's literally nothing out there, but it's, you know, whatever.
It's like if you're there in the summer and you can like go to a lake, or even better if someone has a pool. But
yeah, the pool is always better than the lakes out there for sure. So I grew up in a small town called Cranbrook, which is in the East Kootenays. Yes. And there, good for you. Gross. There was a small theater out there called the Key City Theater. And it's sort of a place where smaller artists would tour because there's only 800 seats. So they could easily like sell out. It's just like an easy stop between, it's not an easy stop, but it's a stop between Vancouver and Calgary when you're touring. And especially for Canadian artists, it was like a really like a hub. And, you know, we saw like Marianas Trench back in the day when they were like really small. We, there was another band that starts with an H that is Redacted that used to come through.
Oh, yeah.
Redacted H word band. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Jan Arden used to come through. She still goes through all the time. But the band that like came through that I was like, I really want to go to this, but we were so poor, I didn't get to go. But I told my friends I went, was the band Wave.
Oh my God.
Which is like, those two are my heart, my soul. I love them so much. I quote the song fucking California all the time. Like,
that's so good.
Do you ever feel like you need change? Hang out where nobody knows your name? Are you kidding me? That still lights me up inside.
It's so, I the only know, like they had like two singles as far as I know, like that and Think It Over. And but I listen to them both still. And like, yeah, California, but like Think It Over, I think was more like, for me, I'm like, oh, he's singing about this like girl who wants to like move, you know, she still wants to see the city lights because they shine so bright. And I'm like, that's me.
Oh my God. See, for me, it was California. It was the dream of like leaving that shitty small town and going somewhere else and like finding new friends. And like,
yeah,
when I was 19, I packed all my things into three Rubbermaid containers and my grandma dropped me off in Calgary. I had no friends, no family, knew no one. And so in order to create a social life for myself, I would like go to coffee shops and I would sit but I would sit at a table that was already occupied with people so that I could like be it. And like, that's a lot of like how I came to be the person I am today, because I was like, I need to figure out a way out of this situation of like being in this town, because I am way too cool for this.
Yeah. Amazing. inspired by Wave.
Inspired by Wave. Yeah. Yeah. And when I later would write my grandmother a letter about how grateful I was that she, you know, helped me move to Calgary, I would quote that song in the letter.
Really?
Yeah, I quoted the song in the letter to her 100%.
That is beautiful. Oh my God. Right.
It's funny because like Wave considered a one-hit wonder, but like that's the magic of a one-hit wonder.
Yeah, it stays with you. Like I truly like wonder what they're doing now. But did you have a CD of theirs? Like, do you know any of their other songs? I don't.
I have their whole album in my music library on my phone.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. There's a couple good songs, but they're pretty juvenile in terms of like depth beyond what those two songs that we really, really liked. Yeah.
And the two songs are like kind of about similar things, but it's funny California was always a funny song for them because they were like from Ontario.
It's like that
California is the universal.
Yeah, absolutely. California is the where you want to go when you want something different.
Totally. For everyone.
Yeah. Like you don't sit around in Kamloops and be like, can't wait to go to Medicine Hat. You know, you're like, I can't wait to break out of here and be famous in Hollywood. You know?
Yeah. California.
Going to California. Going yeah, lots of Canadians life. Have sung about California because like Grimes has a song called California.
Oh.
I mean, I think her husband owns California now, but
probably. Doesn't Joni Mitchell too?
Yeah. And I think that Neil Young also sings about California a lot. That's I think really he lives in California though. Yeah,
right. Probably now, yeah.
Yeah.
He's one of those Canadians that left.
Well, yeah,
I would too.
If you had all the money in the world from being like a huge rock star, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm really grateful for Nickelback for sticking around, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Good for them. Also, yeah. Rachel McAdams still lives in Toronto, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, good for her. Honestly, what a legend.
I know. She's the best.
last week, okay, speaking of Big Brother, last week I was talking to my friend about her and then I was like, she was amazing in The Time Traveler's Wife. And then I was scrolling Facebook like 3 days later and I got an ad from Netflix being like, we just added The Time Traveler's Wife. And I was like, okay.
Oh my God, I hate that.
I hate it too. I'm like, okay, that's an invasion of my privacy.
Yeah, that's like too specific. You're advertising me old movies.
Oh, wait. I get Rachel McAdams and Amy Adams mixed up all the time.
Oh, she is the time traveler's wife.
Rachel. She is the time traveler's wife. Yeah. Because she's Regina George too. Right. Yes.
Yeah. I want to say the movie trailer for The Time Traveler's Wife. I remember when that came out because it had the song Broken by Lifehouse. And I honestly like still think the trailer is better than the movie, but I'll go back and watch the trailer for The Time Traveler's Wife.
I can't remember, but do you know off the top of your head if Broken made it into the final film?
I don't think so. I don't remember, but I doubt it.
Honestly, any movie that contains a Lifehouse song, a Hoobastank song, a Vertical Horizon song, you know they're just going to fuck so hard.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, absolutely. Because it's essentially like Grey's Anatomy adjacent.
Right, yeah. Snow Patrol.
Oh my God. Don't get me started. No. Oh my gosh. Love that. Sorry.
Yeah. Oh God. I'm like,
I'm going for a walk after this and I'm totally going to listen to Snow Patrol now. Great. Oh,
nice.
Okay. So we also messaged about the Mighty Ducks because we've both.
Yes.
We're both on the duck train with this new series that's out.
Yeah.
What was your like first experience with the Mighty Ducks as a human being?
Well, we had the VHS tape of D2, not the first one. and so I grew up watching D2 over and over and over again, had not seen the first Mighty Ducks until a few years ago.
That's so much the same. Oh my God. Really? Like, yeah, totally. I watched the first Mighty Ducks movie like 2 weeks ago and I was like, oh, I've never seen this film in my entire life.
Right. And but so the first one, like, I don't know, like I just rewatched it too after watching the new series. And I'm like, oh, this is like is a good kids movie, though. Like I was into it the whole time.
Yeah, I had no idea that Coach Bombay started out an asshole. Like, that's the origin story. We just don't. Like, because once he becomes, like, good and pure, he's just good and pure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, the whole like him being the asshole lawyer when he's like wearing the coat on the ice and drives the car onto the ice. I was like, wow, they really changed his character.
Like fully. It's so funny because I don't like hockey. I never liked hockey. I've never liked playing hockey. I've never watched hockey. I know that it's a puck and a stick and you skate. But like those movies, I think they transcend the hockey aspect of them because they're ultimately about friendship, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm the same. Like, don't care about hockey at all. But yeah, it's like, and it, just the way, you know, the coach, the kids touch him and he changes.
Okay. Oh, okay. Oh, no. I
mean. They touch his heart.
Yes, the kids touch Coach Bombay's heart, and everything is beautiful. If you were a Mighty Ducks character, which player are you?
Oh my God. I really like Aberman rewatching it. He's the goofy one. Yeah. I really enjoyed the moment in the first movie when he's singing like, hey, bada 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 swing, bada. I'm like, that's fun. I don't know.
What's the goalie's name again?
Goldberg.
Oh yeah, I'm fully Goldberg, 110%. Nice. Like
Goldberg's
for sure.
Great.
Goldberg's fun. And in the final movie, they let him be the hero, which is like so chic.
Oh, you know what? I was going to say, I don't think I watched D3.
Oh, you have to watch D3.
Yeah. Well, like the other week I watched the first two in one day and then I was like, I can't do the third one right now. Yeah,
that's fair. That's a lot of hockey. That's a lot of like watching teenage boys.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Although like it's kind of fun, like noticing Joshua Jackson. I was like, oh, he started there. Hmm.
He sure did. He did. And like is like very much the heart. Like when he decides to pull himself so that Adam Banks can play, just like so. Aww, sweet. So sweet.
Cute. Yeah.
So sweet. Yeah. Have you been watching the new series, The Game Changers?
Yeah. I haven't watched the most recent episode yet.
Okay.
But I'm into it so far.
Yeah. I think there's something really... there's something enchanting about Lauren Graham that it really, she brings a new life to the series for sure. Cause she's almost naive, but she's also really, really powerful. Yeah. It's just really nice. It's nice. It's nice to see her as like,
yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, my sister texted me about it cause she has two boys and they both play hockey. And she was like, Lauren Graham's the hockey mom I want to be.
Like, literally, she's like, yeah, don't let them fat shame you. Like, you don't have to be good. We're just here to have fun. Yeah. And in the most recent episode, are you like chill on like kind of spoilers?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. They score one goal and after like they lose like 17-1 to the Ducks. And then there's this scene where the Ducks are getting like reamed out for letting that one goal through. But then in the background, you hear the like the other team that scored the only one goal out of 17. And they're like, and she's just like, we did it. We scored one goal. And they're just like celebrating the small victory. And it's just so cute.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. It's really precious.
Yeah. It's such a good, like, it just made me think of playing sports. Like I played all the sports growing up, well, like not hockey, but you know, like soccer, basketball, volleyball, up until I think grade 7 or 8, because just that's when everyone is like, you have to be really good at this. And it wasn't fun anymore. And I'm like, that's such a like important thing. I'm like, why can't it just be fun?
I completely agree with you. And I never played sports because, well, cigarette emoji.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh my gosh. Okay, speaking of TV, have you watched The Equalizer? Do you know about The Equalizer?
I know about it. I haven't watched it. Queen Latifah. Okay.
Do you want me to sell it to you? I'll sell
yes.
it to you. Okay,
yeah.
Amazing. So Queen Latifah plays the Equalizer, who is an ex-CIA agent who is like highly trained and highly specialized. She breaks away from the CIA. She does not work with the cops. Instead, she sides with people who are being unjustly tried in the system, who the cops don't believe. And she essentially, she calls herself the Equalizer. So she brings balance to the system, which is really interesting. It's quite ACAB. Like, it's incredibly Ooh. Geared towards her being like, we don't need the cops for certain things. And she essentially for 40 minutes, once a week, just beats men up. She just Queen Ooh. Latifah kicking the shit out of men.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible. There's some storylines that are like pretty grandiose and weird. Like just like quite unbelievable. Like they're just so big. But every episode wraps up the storyline completely. So each episode is self-contained with like some character arches that go, but like they're mostly what carries episode to episode is interpersonal relationships, which is really cool.
Nice. Yeah. I like that. Like, I'm having troubles lately just since being in like at home for so long, like binging any series. I'm like, so I just want it to be over. I want to watch one episode and then it's done. I don't want to have to like, I don't know. I can't commit to 10 hours of a thing.
So on the flip side of that, I relate to that because for me, it's like if I watch one episode that then leads into another episode, I can't not watch that episode.
Yeah.
So like when Firefly Lane came out, I was like, okay, I'm just going to watch one episode today and see how I like it. And then, you know, in the blink of an eye, I was like three episodes deep and I was like, okay, well, we're going to watch all of this and then we're going to it's just wild. They don't make TV episodic anymore. They really truly don't. No.
Yeah.
But The Equalizer is episodic, which is really great because I've been watching it every week. So I'm giving them views week to week. I'm giving them the views because I'm like, I really want Queen Latifah on television. I think that that is powerful. And
yeah,
I really want to. And it's already been renewed for a season two. So I'm like, I'm good.
Oh, good.
I'm good for the next 2 years to watch her just kick the shit out of men.
Just that alone. I'm like, yeah, I want to watch that.
Yeah, I watch with a friend of mine sometimes, or sometimes we'll just like send voice notes back and forth while we're watching it. And we like to keep tabs of like at each episode, how many men she kills or how many men she kicks the shit out of. Yeah. And in one episode, she like kicked the shit out of like 24 dudes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. She's amazing. She's incredible.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, I think we've reached the end of the time. Yes. So I'm going to ask you a few questions. Always
great. End with
questions. So I ask everybody, what Spice Girl are you?
Oh my God, that's such a hard question. And like, I knew it was coming because I'm the number one fan of this podcast. Oh my God, I did not prepare an answer. Oh, okay. So I'm as you know, a cigarette emoji. And we just giggle after that every time. I never really identified with one Spice Girl. I was a fan of the Spice Girls immediately. Like from, I think they came out, was it 1998 their first album came out?
I think 99.
Yeah. Okay. So 1997, I was like immediately had those cassettes. Yeah. So I'm going to give you the answer of all of them because without all of them, there is no Spice Girls. Like you can't just like look at their individual careers in music, right?
Even the album when Jerry left, I'm like, there are some songs that I like, but it's not the same.
The song where they said goodbye to her, that was fierce.
It's beautiful. The video where there's like wolves.
So beautiful. I can't pick one that I just am because I don't think I'm an archetype, but I did follow and always really appreciated Sporty for her vocals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
And I liked her on that Bryan Adams song.
That's an amazing song. I listen to that song a lot.
It doesn't have enough of her. I feel like, yeah, it doesn't have enough of her, but she's there for sure.
It's true. She doesn't have her own verse. She's always singing with him.
Yeah, kind of it's annoying. True. Yeah. Well, I mean, it was the early 2000s. You know how that how it goes sometimes.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Well, next question I have for you is which Mamma Mia dad would you want to be your dad?
Oh my God, that's not fair. Okay, so here we're gonna, okay, hold on. Okay, so everyone who I show Mamma Mia to who doesn't know what it's about, at the end of the movie, they're like, okay, but like, who's her real dad? Like, I bet it's this person. Mm. I'm like, that's not the point. The point of the movie is not to find her dad. The point of the movie is that she finds three people who love her mom so much that it doesn't actually matter who the dad is. It doesn't. It never yeah. does, because they all behave like her dad to her.
Yeah.
And so it's never about who the actual dad is. Like, that's how the movie
I agree. Starts. I don't care who it is.
No. And it's not about that. They're all her dad. Honestly, Donna's pussy was full of jizz. Like, she had three loads from three different guys within days of each other. It could have been anyone's sperm. Like, it could have been, right?
Truly.
Yeah, and they don't lead you in any direction. So I guess my passionate answer is all three.
Okay.
I would take that's all allowed. Three. Yeah, it has to be allowed, because you can't just have one of the mama, because there are different archetypes of the different types of dads.
Yeah, true.
Right? Like Sam is very like emotionally supportive in there. Harry is very... Harry's the gay dad. Then Bill is the adventurous, fun, serious, like, you know, cereal for dinner dad.
Yes. Yeah. Wow. Okay. Well, maybe this is just an offshoot. Which one would you want to date?
Oh, Jesus. Definitely young Bill.
Yeah, same.
Got young Bill.
Which is crazy. Like, I'm not usually into like blonde men.
Okay, but young Bill?
Young Bill. That the scene with them dancing on the boat, I'm like, either of them. Young Donna.
Young Donna, bisexual icon.
Yeah.
When you were lonely, you needed a man, someone to lean on. Well, I understand. Oh when yeah. No, the scene where he goes to
me.
The scene where he goes to the bottom of the ocean and finds her a pearl, when he pulls his sleek otter like body out of the fucking Grecian ocean, I lost my mind. I was like, this is as horny as Channing Tatum in She's the Man.
That's another great reference.
Yeah, I'm making that reference because my friend Kevin recently made me rewatch She's the Man because he was drunk and was like, this is the best movie ever made.
It's really funny. Yeah. I'll give him that. Yeah. Also, like, the one of the only movies I am really attracted to Channing Tatum in.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, cause
he's attractive, but
There's something about him in that. There's something about him.
Yeah, exactly. My God. Okay, another question for you. Okay, would you rather be a pop star or a movie star?
I think I would do pop star. And I think the only reason for that is because I'm currently working on my first studio album of music. It's like my quarantine project that I'm working on right now, which is like really exciting and also really difficult. I think I'd do pop star.
Amazing.
Yeah. I don't think I'd want to be in movies. What about you?
Thank you. I think like, it's funny cause I always wanted to be an actress, but I think I'd also rather be a pop star. Like, the ultimate like fantasy. I want to be a pop star. When I was a kid, I would like listen to my CDs alone in my room and perform for my Beanie Babies.
Stunning. Yeah. There's a bunch of cigarette emojis who used to do that very thing. And now they're all just drag queens.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. And like you do stand up. Do you find that there's like a correlation between stand up and being a pop star?
I've like heard that there's people make comparisons between like musicians and and comedians. I guess in a sense that it's like just you on stage, but it's like ultimately, like, it would never be, there's no comedian that's as big as Lady Gaga. Like, I mean, they are, like, you could do stadiums. Kevin Hart does stadiums, but it's like, I don't know.
Yeah, interesting.
It's not the same.
No, it's a different vibe for sure.
Right?
The fandom is a little less fanatical for stand-up comedians.
Yeah, that's the thing. Because I guess for if you're doing comedy, you're still, you're in a sense like revealing who you are. Whereas like pop star, it's like fully performance.
Okay.
I don't know.
Brace yourself for this reference. Do you think that Dane Cook back in his heyday might have been considered? Look at your face. Oh my God.
Like, yeah, Dane Cook.
Yeah, Dane Cook. Oh yeah. Fuck you, grandma, you cheating whore.
he was it. Like, he kind of brought back stand-up comedy in a way. He came out when I was in high school and everyone was obsessed with him. You're right. And quoting his shit to each other.
Yeah.
That could be it.
I still make that Kool-Aid man joke. I still do the grandma's cheating whore at Monopoly joke. Like,
yeah, I still like think of calling a B&E, a breaking and entering a B&E.
the nothing fights in the grocery stores. Yeah. Yes. So, but he's a trash human being, so it's fine.
Yeah. I recently actually tried to watch some of the movies. Me and Randy tried to watch Employee of the Month. And I was like, Dax Shepard is in it, and Jessica Simpson is in it. But I'm like, it was so bad. We turned it off halfway.
Do him and Jessica Simpson engage in sexual relations?
We didn't get that far. Good, okay. I think they at least kiss in it though.
Okay. All right. Not my beautiful Jessica Simpson.
Well, I mean, did you read her book?
Not yet, but I have it on audiobook ready to go.
I listened to the audiobook too. She never talks about him. There was other co-stars that she liked better. She doesn't bring up Dane Cook.
Oh, interesting.
So he's nothing. We don't even think about him.
Because she was in also problematic context, but like Dukes of Hazzard, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, her and Johnny Knoxville.
Knocked boots.
Quite possibly.
Fierce. I remember. Okay. Last tidbit. I remember when I was like probably 11, I got Jessica Simpson's I Think That I'm In Love With You single CD in a box of Corn Pop cereal.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That's iconic. Yeah.
Totally. They just mix all the stuff to make a gay into the cereal, including the music.
Yeah. Gay in a box.
Yeah, totally.
Okay. Well, we have to wrap up. But where can people find you?
People can find me on Instagram at Unicorn River Child. They can find me on Twitter at Mama Dust, MOMMADUST. They can also visit my website, www.mamadust.ca. Yeah, and I'm working on my studio album. So you can also find me on Spotify under Dust Quain, which is spelled CWAINE. They can find two of my singles on there currently. They want to, you know, give a good follow. I'm also on Apple Music under the same name. Yeah. Amazing. So I'm a little bit everywhere.
You're everywhere. Sweet. Okay. And for the podcast, you can follow us on Instagram at Dearest Pop Culture for updates, and make sure to subscribe and tell your friends and leave a review, and we'll see you next week. We love you. Bye.